It's always a pleasure for me to welcome children into the church for the first time. The only way we can justify infant baptism is from the faith of the parents and this community. And our readings today, I think, are sort of appropriate because they're calling us to our Christian identity. The first reading we have from Sirach talks about what type of prayer we should have. The prayer of the humble is going to reach all the way to heaven. It pierces the heavens, as the author says. 1 Timothy today, most scholars agree that this was not written by Paul, but they think this section was. It certainly sounds like Paul. Paul reminds people all the time that he has no lack of identity. He knows who he is. And today he's talking about, it's probably the last letter he's written, because the first trial he had, no one stood by him, only God. And it's a good object lesson. We can depend only on God. And probably the early Romans that he had converted, they had been Jewish people before, and they were afraid to stand up for him because, after all, this was during the period of persecution. But nevertheless, it's Paul's courage and his faith, and he imitates Christ. And in imitating Christ, he's going to gain all the Gentile world into the church. Remember, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, the Pharisee, the Jew, and he becomes the one who reaches out. Then our gospel today picks up from last week. Remember, in Luke's gospel, he has this theme of the way, the journey to Jerusalem and fulfillment. Fulfillment not in the way that a lot of the people expected. Fulfillment on the cross, where Christ was obedient to the Father to the very end, and that led him. Not he didn't undertake suffering for the sake of suffering, but rather he undertook to do the will of the Father. So then today he addresses not just his disciples as he did last week, but now he talks to those who are righteous and judge everybody else. He's talking to us. You know we're right all the time. And yet he says, now how do you pray? And he uses the two different types of prayer here, the Pharisee and the tax collector. As I was preparing my homily yesterday, by the way, I got a letter from my favorite branch of the government. I sued the Internal Revenue Service some 20 years ago, and ever since then I get audited. And because somebody did not send me a 1099 form for $2,000, they charged me $1,500. I call it extortion. But anyway, none of us really like tax collectors. So how do we understand this? Well, we have to look at what is the proper attitude in prayer, and I'm going to be brief. And then picking up both from Sirach and from 1 Timothy, we have to talk about serving God willingly. That's something that's hard for us to take sometimes. And then, like Paul, to be able to say, I have run the good race. I have competed well. Because his whole identity is because of Christ. By the way, I think this is an allergy. My eyes have been watering for 4 weeks, and I've been trying to finish an article, and I can't even see the screen. Computer screen, that is. What is the right attitude? Well, in the eyes of the world, the Pharisee was a good man, and he knows it. Because he said, after all, I have avoided greed, dishonesty, adultery. I'm not like the rest of these people. As a matter of fact, I don't fast just once a week, but twice a week. I go beyond even the Jewish law. But the trouble is, he knows it. And he's there to be seen. He's there right in the front, dressed in his fancy outfit like I am. And it reminds me of a Jesuit that I knew when I was a much younger Jesuit, an older man who just kept saying, I've always kept the vows, but my problem was, what else did he do with his life? So many of us can say, well, I've kept the commandments. Yes, but what else? The purpose of commandments is to get us onto the other side. There's a psalm that says, I love your commandments, O God. The only reason why we can say that in prayer or in any other way is when we realize we would not have done what we were commanded to do, but once we did what we were commanded to do, we had a whole new experience. I got this insight a number of years ago when there was a Jesuit in my province that we gave up for dead. It turned out he would have been in a Siberian prison camp, and he was very much alive. And he preached this homily the first Easter Sunday that he was released, and he talked about you have to pick up your cross and follow Christ. Now, we had heard that from numerous pious spiritual directors for the previous 10 years of our lives in the Jesuits, but this time, he had been through the experience. He was on the other side, but he could still use the same words. Pick up your cross daily and follow Christ. Do it daily. Just pick small things. Take small steps before going over to the big things. Well, what else has he done? The tax collector recognizes he doesn't deserve to be in God's presence. The tax collector is the one who recognizes his creaturehood, that somehow or other God reaches out in love. God is not just. He's a lover. And therefore, the tax collector is the one who knows that ultimately he can just say, pray, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knows God will be merciful, but nevertheless, he recognizes his sinfulness. A second point, though, serving God willingly. I mentioned last week that I was very upset at a priest one time. I said that many times I have to say Mass alone because my class schedule and so forth. And I said, I don't necessarily like it. And then he said, well, why do you do it? I was utterly shocked to think of the possibility of a priest saying that. Worship is not what I get out of it. It's serving God willingly. It's giving God what he deserves. What does he deserve? We cannot win him over. But as one of the prefaces for daily Mass says, weekday Mass, says, even our desire to praise you is itself your gift. Praising God is ultimately our identity. Praying always, as the Gospel and the first reading said last week, pray always, meaning our whole life should become a prayer. And we're ushering these two children into this life of prayer today on the faith of their parents. The prayer of the lowly, like the tax collector, that will ultimately be heard. But the prayer of the lowly is one who recognizes sinfulness. I do not deserve to be in God's presence, but be merciful to me, a sinner. And a final note. We have to imitate Paul the way in which Paul imitated Christ. He knows that he has won the good race, and he says, I will receive the crown of righteousness, which is the reward that the just God will give me. But ultimately, it's because he has given of himself. When I said last week, and I repeat now, the whole thing that our life should become a prayer, because our whole life should be an offering to the Father, an offering in thanksgiving as we do when we come to the Eucharist. These children today are being ushered into the church. One down the line, they'll be confirmed, they'll receive their first communion, and they too will become full-fledged members of the body of Christ through the example of their parents, their godparents, and hopefully this congregation. They too will be willing to raise their whole lives to God, as we are called upon to do. We will be reprofessing our faith today, which is the faith that these children will be baptized in. And let us recall that by our recalling our own baptism, we are talking about we have entered into the mystical body of Christ. And therefore, we should make the church visible.